Hello, everybody.
And welcome back to Cereal from the Box.
I'm Gianna.
And I'm Marie.
And this is the show where we talk about being your best self even when it's hard. Comparisons flying out the windows, cheese flying in the windows, and creating a space for yourself to be yourself. Marie, how are you doing?
I am doing well.
Good.
You know, my life is currently a little chaotic
as,
you know, the semester has been starting back up again.
Oh no.
And stuff like that. But, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
That can be true, and I can be thriving at the same time,
which I
am.
Of course.
So, you know, overall, doing well. Oh, I guess one like fun positive thing is like amidst like a chaotic week, and like originally I was like telling myself like you need to work like every single day this week. You have things to do, you need to spend time to do it every single day this week. Instead, we did not fall for that capitalistic sense of productivity. No. Instead, I bought candles for my friend Tori. We were roommates freshman year of college, along with another friend of mine, Christy. But Tori makes candles, and she's made like a chakra collection.
Wow.
So I may have already bought two from her. And she delivered them to my door because she's that precious and sweet. And amidst that happening, because that was already, like, in the plan, Christy also came up to my abode. Well, she lives in Rockville, so I guess that's not really up, but whatever.
she traveled west.
traveled to me. And so we all hung out. We took some pictures. So
yeah,
that was exciting.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. I was very, very happy with it. It was quite like impromptu.
Yeah, if you guys didn't follow Marie before she turned private, those photos are gorgeous. And maybe you can put some on our story so people can check them out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm super happy with them. And I'm glad that I chose to kind of spend my day doing that and some other like chill, relaxing activities. I told you about the rug that I'm making.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I swear.
Rug? No, you didn't. Bitch, you did not.
Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Gotta walk across the room without killing anyone. Oops.
Okay, so audio description: Marie's room is purple and has little leaves on it. Oh, wow.
Can you
the
see
rug,
it?
The rug is pink. And black.
It's got some pink on it. It's got these cow print spots.
Like a cow. Oh my god, that's so cute.
And
are you like knitting that?
It's like, here, let me show you this fun little hooky thing. I got this like
crochet?
Purple. It kind of looks like a crochet hook, but it has like this like little latch.
Latching.
So that you can kind of like loop and pull it through. I don't know.
Ooh.
Anyways,
cute.
And there's these, like, yellow colors, so it's going to go from pink to yellow. It's very exciting.
That's really exciting.
Feels so,
wow.
So artsy.
Wow.
Anyways, it's an abandoned project from, like, fifth grade, so good time
now's
to do
the
it
time. Yeah.
Is quarantine time. So, yep.
For sure.
So, that's me and my life. How about you, G?
I've been really busy. The school where I work is like starting a new semester, so I'm just like I sent out like 20 emails today. I love hearing back from people. wish I would hear back from more people. And yeah, so I mean, opposite of you, I have just been like working for like 12 hours.
Oh,
but
no.
It's fine. And then I wanted to do my taxes because I've never done them myself. Like, my dad always does them. So I was going to try to, like, do my own taxes just for funsies.
Just for some adulting life experiences.
Like, you know what? I kind of want to know why I didn't get my stimulus check, even though I'm an independent adult.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty rude.
So I just have to do some research on that, which is the primary motivation.
What about this recent time, though? Did you get anything? No, again?
No, nope, nothing.
And your parents definitely didn't file you as a dependent?
They definitely did not, because I am on FAFSA as an independent adult, so...
Well, no, because I think that's different.
No, my dad has not filed me as a dependent for, like, 2 years. Because I haven't been living with him for 2 years.
He's an honest man.
He is.
Yeah. That's interesting. Because I know, like, when I had to do the FAFSA again, it, like, didn't even ask me if I was a dependent. They're like, you're too old to be, to be a dependent. Jokes on them. I depend very much. Anyways.
But yeah, so I've just been working, and just, like, I remodeled my room, which means moving my two pieces of furniture around.
Do you feel better about your space now? Do you enjoy your...
Yeah, I have a place to lay on my carpet, and you were buying candles. I bought a mini vacuum cleaner.
I love that for you.
Because that's my life now, in cleaning supplies. That's my
adulting
life
now. Adulting
is a lot. Whoop, whoop.
But I'm glad you have variety in places in which you can lay.
Yeah, like, I like to lay on the floor. I had nowhere to lay on the floor before, now I do, so.
Exciting.
So that's just what's happening. But yeah, so anyways, let's just jump right in, because...
Let's go.
My life is in shambles, and it's not, there's nothing worth talking about.
Well, cool. If you did have something to talk about, I would love to hear it, but we can jump right in.
Let's jump right in.
Yeah. So, this week we wanted to talk about orthorexia. And at least for me, before, like, you know, deciding that we were going to talk about it, I was like, I definitely need to do my research on this. Because, as some of you may or may not know, it is not... a diagnosis within the DSM. It's not, like, super in its infancy. Like, the term has been coined since, like, 1997. So it's been around as long as I've been alive. But because it's not in the DSM, like, my education on it in terms of, like, my schooling definitely hasn't been formal. And I've only, you know, kind of heard it thrown around. So I just wanted to make sure that I got my facts straight. But gee, I also remember, and correct me if, like, I'm wrong, because I don't trust my memory, really. But, and I think you may have, like, said it in the first episode, too, when we were kind of, like, giving our backstories and our experiences.
Yeah.
When we had, like, I don't know, it must have been, like, sophomore or junior year of college. Probably sophomore year. And you'd come to visit me at UMD, and we, like, went to the coffee shop, and you were telling me that, like, you were struggling with your eating and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you or did I say this might be orthorexia?
I mean, you definitely said it, but it was definitely, like, if I had had, like, a doctor observe me or whatever, this is the closest to what it would have been.
Interesting. Yeah. So do you want to start by maybe, like, sharing a bit more about your experience? And I can kind of, like, so disclaimer for my research. My research looked like reviewing some journal articles, you know, that were published. But then also I feel like sometimes it's more helpful to hear about people's, like, lived experiences than it is to just kind of read this, like, jargony literature that has, like, I guess kind of like a research bias to it. Like, it answers the question that the researchers want to ask. And because, like, the diagnosis is not an official one in the sense that it's not in the diagnostic manual, There is like some controversy about like what would the diagnostic criteria be and stuff like that. So I feel like hearing about like lived experience is a bit better. So I did take to the good old YouTube in order to try to figure it out. But I didn't know if you wanted to like start with some of the things that you were going through first.
Yeah, sure. So basically, I was trying to optimize my athletic performance, mm-hmm. and I thought that the best way to do that, and just as a warning before we go on, I will mention some big bad diet culture names. Mm-hmm. Please do not try any of these at home or at school or at the doctor's office or under any circumstances. But the thing that got me like first into the evil cycle, mm-hmm. is this whole 30 concept, mm-hmm. of like this food can cause you to be bloated and this food can cause inflammation. And I was at that time vegetarian and I ate a lot of broccoli. And those of you who eat broccoli, and I eat a lot of beans. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. I'm a bean machine. And I would eat a lot of things that just cause gas in the body, and that's just what they do. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I have inflammation. OMG. So I cut many foods out of my diet. Mm-hmm. And then the idea with that is that you're supposed to add them back in after a while. Add certain things back in. I did not do that part of it. Mm-hmm. I just continued the other way and decided that like this was also bad for me, and like I couldn't eat this thing, I couldn't eat that thing. And it got like pretty intense. I wouldn't go out with my friends, mm-hmm. because I, you know, unless I like scoured a menu beforehand, I was like casually dating somebody at the time, mm-hmm. and he told his parents at dinner, oh, don't say anything, she's gonna order a salad, and just don't say anything about it.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And I was like, I mean, you're not wrong, but like that's pretty embarrassing.
Wow, yeah, that's intense.
And I like was, my athletic performance was deteriorating. Mm. My mental state was deteriorating. How ironic. How ironic.
Right.
How bizarre. As the kids say.
Yeah.
How bizarre. Do, 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 do. But it was like I was also like going beyond what the restrictions of that aforementioned diet culture, mm-hmm. lie. Diet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I just was like, and let me just add to those people who still might be tempted, my body didn't change. Mm-hmm. Actually, everything just got worse for me. My mood was bad. I had so many pains in my body. Mm. Like my muscles weren't recovering from my physical activity. So like I was just in so much pain all the time.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was really scary, actually. Mm-hmm. And, like, I lost a lot of friends and just dropped out of school. So.
As one does. I dropped out of school, too. That's why I said that. Yeah.
But that's what happened. And then basically my friends told on me to the athletic trainer. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of called me out on it, and
that's like, what like just prompted you to get help.
Yeah, to some degree. I didn't really do, but like I just was like, okay, I guess this isn't working.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I just did not do that anymore.
Yeah, because they wanted you to see like a nutritionist, right?
Like a school. And I did, but she wasn't really that good. Yeah, like, she's paid like probably $1 an hour.
Rip to people that work
she
for
literally the only thing she was like, oh, maybe you could drink some chocolate milk. I was like, okay, what is that gonna do for me?
Right. So did she even like recognize at all that you had an eating disorder?
No, she was just like,
I'm
how about
gagged.
some peanut butter toast or like edamame noodles?
Oh
Those are
my
really have a lot of protein. I was like, what
God. Oh my, wow.
the fuck? So it was
That's
like,
upsetting, but I'm sure it's like a common experience with
and you know what?
orthorexia.
She was not like, I feel like, yes, she had some kind of qualifications, but she was not highly trained. She was working at SUNY Purchase, the worst SUNY. Like, literally, they have $1 at SUNY Purchase and they give it to the D3 soccer team. So,
Of course, always the
of
sports.
course. But, anyways, it was just like, and it was a really competitive environment, and it didn't really give me the security that, okay, like, I'll go and like, you know, it I didn't feel like me a very verbally acknowledging to my teachers and stuff that I had a problem would be like recognized just because of the environment of the school. So I didn't really I probably could have gone about things a little better, but I did not. And this is where we are. But I think I'm okay now. I think I'm doing great.
Good. I am happy
Anyways,
for the
guys,
growth.
don't derail your career or your life.
So I guess
The end.
let's compare that to my research. Just to bring it all together, you know what I mean? So first, I have multiple questions written down. First, what is orthorexia? So I think you kind of highlighted this in your experience. But in some, it can be described as an unhealthy fixation with healthy eating. So the driving force between, your food choices and stuff like that is this idea of healthy eating, and so that can look like a little bit differently. So it says, a focus on the quality of food, not necessarily the quantity of food, that leads to psychological, physical, and social impairments, which you described that last part real well. So unfortunately, it did impact your life. But when it comes to, I guess, like this idea of healthy eating, that could look a couple different ways. It could look like clean eating, which kind of sounds like that was a little bit a part of like what you're doing. Like you were trying to optimize your health, optimize your digestion, reduce inflammation, optimize your athletic performance, through your diet, right?
And I felt like, so like I always had like, you know, kind of had other
Like body
food
image.
stuff in my past, body image stuff. So it's like, if I can make this perfect, then I can, then everything else will be perfect. And it did not work. It did not work.
So I guess so this is interesting as well, and then I'll come back to this idea of healthy eating. So in like the articles and stuff like that, they're trying to like differentiate like anorexia from orthorexia, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And one of the things that kind of came with that is this idea that in, anorexia, there's more of an active pursuit of weight loss. Like the intention is to limit the food intake in order to pursue that goal, whereas the motivator isn't necessarily weight loss, even though weight loss could occur in orthorexia. So for you, because I feel like when I was listening to like some people describe their experience with it on YouTube, it seemed like weight loss, like body image issues, I guess, not necessarily weight loss, but body image issues was also kind of co-occurring during this time. So do you feel like weight loss was a motivator for you, or was like the being healthy and improving, I guess functionality your
I think
bigger goal?
there was a lot going on.
That's fair enough.
But I mean that was always a part of it, and I thought that incorrectly. I incorrectly thought that if I had a smaller body, I would be a better dancer. And that was not true. Because you could be a really good dancer in any shape and body.
Yeah.
It was just, that's what I had been led to believe. So
sure.
I was like, okay, if I want to be a better dancer, this is going to help me do that. And this way, and that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like something like to be admired. Like, oh, like I'm not going to eat that. It's like not healthy.
Yes. So that's really interesting. And I'm going to, so perfect segue back into this healthy eating. So then the other side of this healthy eating is like a morality or virtuosity. And I also wrote down as another word that kind of came up when I was listening to people's like anecdotal experiences was the word superior, and kind of feeling that by eating healthy, you're a more virtuous individual, more superior perhaps to other people that don't eat as healthy as you do.
Yeah.
Was that something that you're kind of feeling?
I feel like, yeah, which is kind of bad, but, like, also I felt like I wasn't good at anything else, so I was like, I guess I could be good at this.
Yeah, and to be honest, I feel like
other
that's...
Other people are good at everything else, so let me just have this one thing, okay?
Right, and I think, honestly, like, that's a pretty, like, common, just in general, eating disorder thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean... It can be, like, a source of shame, but at the same time, also sometimes, like, a source of gratification, like, something that makes you special, makes you different, you're good at it, like, that kind of flawed and negative thought pattern.
I was also not very good at it, because I would just, like, you know, like, just like someone that isn't eating enough may have episodes of binge eating. I too would experience those episodes. Mind you, it would be with the foods that I thought were safe, quote unquote,
quote unquote
healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like eat a lot of them and then feel bad because I was like, oh, I thought it was supposed to be cured. I'm like, it's not that easy.
I think that's interesting because I think, kind of the same with like other eating disorders. I think sometimes like with orthorexia, it seems like you're only going to eat the safe foods or the healthy foods. You're not going to eat any, you know, anything that's not those foods, which could be true. And it sounds like it was true in your case, but it sounds like there was still like a lot of guilt and anxiety around eating something that wasn't on the safe food list. Or eating too much of what was on the safe food list. Like, not eating, like, a right-sized portion, I guess. Whatever that meant to you.
Whatever that was, a fake lie of that.
And then when it comes to, like, the morality piece. So, like, that's all kind of tied together. And this is, I guess, like, when I... Before I, like, did my research, I kind of held, like, two ideas of orthorexia. Like, one, really extreme clean eating. Clean eating that impairs your life in some way, shape, or form, which is a very oversimplified way of, like, describing it. And I think the way that the media tends to describe it a lot. But then on the other hand, there can also be a morality piece in terms of, like, I don't know, I think more of it, like a need to be clean, almost, something like that. I guess, like, one of the things that I kind of... like a more obsessive compulsive type reaction, if that makes sense, like a need to be virtuous, a need to be clean or something like that. And what I kind of found with the research and then further by hearing anecdotal stuff is that sometimes like health concerns or a current or like previous illness or health condition can kind of be something that sparks orthorexia, because there's like an idea that like food can kind of be the medicine for that or the cure for that. Like I heard one person was talking about how they had acne, and even though it like wasn't actually quote unquote that bad at the time, you know, the person like put a lot of emphasis, I guess, on their acne and, you know, perceived it to kind of be this bad thing. And so they got this idea that being able to control their diet, I mean, like, I think you hear this all the time in the media, like, don't cut out this food group and it'll reduce your acne, you know, eat this, don't eat this for, to help your acne, whatever. So she, you know, kind of adopted this belief that being able to better her diet would be able to cure her acne. And so it kind of went down this whole path of like eliminating certain food groups and then further restricting those food groups. And then doing cleanses and all this other like shit that, you know, like involves that like diet culture, wellness culture talk,
yeah,
like, you know, needing to do a detox and things like that. And mm-hmm. not only did it not help her acne, it worsened her acne. But, yeah. you know, kind of same situation as you, like really impacted her social life. Obviously had a huge impact on her wallet because mm-hmm. of what she, the kinds of foods that she was spending her money on was really expensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like she was only buying organic foods because she thought that was, you know, for whatever reason, a healthier option. So it just like led to all this like really controlling mm-hmm. behavior that severely limited her diet, all, you know, from this kind of like concept of like needing to cure the acne, needing to be, I guess, kind of like more cleaner, virtuous in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
luckily I don't have a lot of money.
Limit on your options.
I think personally that organic is a scam for something. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Sorry, organic.
But
folks.
I mean, it's kind of interesting, like with access to social media and to like all these crazy articles mm-hmm. online that will tell you like so much different conflicting information, like how easy it is to be like, oh, well, this must be true, but this also must be true. And then like from there, you just keep mm-hmm. dwindling down and down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like wild. I think also it was like funny because like in my notes, I wrote down like other like risk factors is like if obviously if you have a perfectionist, you know, personality or whatever, as most right. people with eating disorders do, if black and white thinking, being obsessive. And it was kind of funny because like the girl was like, yeah, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. And I was like, okay, check. Black and white thinking. Yeah. Oh, so I also like wrote down like having maybe like trauma or like, you know, specifically like, you know, sexual trauma or something like that could leave you like feeling dirty. So like clean eating mm-hmm. is like a way to, on I guess like kind of a psychological right. level to like remedy that. Okay. So let me ask you this. Do yeah. you feel we live in what the research articles I was reading, what they coin as an orthorexic society?
You know what? I feel like some people do. I feel mm-hmm. like some people are still there. I think that was much truer 5 years ago.
Do you know what I first thought of when I heard that term?
What?
I was like, oh shit, that's all the fad vegan diets that were taking place when we were in freshman year of college. Like 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, mm-hmm. Like that Freely the Banana Girl bullshit.
Oh my god.
Like, she caused so many people to approach food in a very specific way. That honestly I feel was like so centered around health and achieving a quote unquote healthy body, which is therefore a thin body, a toned body, a muscular body, whatever.
You also have to just, let me just remind you guys, you gotta do a little bit of exercise. You can't just eat bananas.
Well, I mean, they did that on top of it, which was like the crazy thing. Yeah. Like they were like avid bikers and I don't know. It was like, it was a lot.
Literally, I would faint. I would be standing holding onto a wooden bar and I would still faint.
Yeah, it's dangerous. I think. Yeah, I think one of the people that I was listening to was kind of having, you know, a similar experience where, like, the medical repercussions of trying to adhere to that quote-unquote standard of health was clearly very unhealthy. Like, fainting is not Not as simple of health. Surprise. Shocker.
No, it's not. Also, like, if you don't eat a wide variety of foods, you know, given that you don't have, like, a real allergy mm-hmm. or intolerance, or your doctor hasn't, for a real medical reason, told you to avoid something, you, like, if you don't eat something, you're gonna become, like, unable to digest it.
Yeah, because...
You have enzymes in your body that break mm-hmm. things down, and they have to know what they're breaking down.
Yeah.
It's not like, eat a nail, your body can't break down a nail. You don't eat metal. We don't have pica.
Yes, in our non-expert nutritional advice, very diet is definitely helpful.
I'm not an expert. Yeah. I am not
but
an
I
expert.
Do know I you can't digest degree. A nail.
I do know. People are not supposed to eat metal. Go to the doctor, please.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of, like, crazy, like, to which, the extent to which our society is so wrapped up in wellness culture and fitness that I think, like, orthorexia flies under the radar because people don't feel like 100%. There's, like, a negative impact on their life. I think it becomes so easy to ignore the negative impacts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. And, like, the worst is that my own blood is promoting this on the World Wide Web. And because I don't want them to go bankrupt, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be commenting nasty things on their videos. Also, because I actually like them. They're nice. Like, I want my family to do well, but it's, like, it's heartbreaking to me that they are showing other people that this is okay when I, in my humble opinion, believe it is dangerous because mm-hmm. it happened to me.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think that's, like, what's kind of the – it's, like, the difficult part because the inevitability of being on the internet and promoting things online, especially when you have what – other people, you know, want and desire and what we say are the societal ideals, people are going to believe you and people will seek you out, people that are already in a vulnerable position and likely to develop at a minimum disordered eating as a result, you know what I mean, and like fuck their relationship with food, with their body, whatever. And it's incredibly like upsetting that we live in like a society like that.
Yeah, I just, like, so I feel like currently it's not as bad, but it also could be because my media that I digest
is different.
Is different because I just refuse to participate in that sort of orthorexic society.
Well, I don't know if this is, like, the case for you, but, like, my... What do you call it? I guess a For You page for Instagram. You know, like, when you can, like, hit the search and then it has...
Discover.
The Discover page. Yeah. The problem with trying to follow, you know, recovery accounts, you know, the eating disorder recovery hashtag, is, like, you're given, like, a coin. Two sides, right? Mm-hmm. You have people promoting, like, helpful anti-diet culture... positive, uplifting messages about mental health and about eating disorders. But at the same time, Instagram goes, oh, you must want to see these, like, weight loss transformations or these, like, fitness gurus who, like, are claiming body positivity and, you know, I guess they must be, like, using some hashtags or whatever, and then somehow, like, it all gets conflated. Like, I feel like it's impossible to, like... digest like recovery related content without digesting all this triggering stuff at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like incredibly frustrating. I don't understand it.
I was like reading this thing, also trying to do a little research on this certain YouTuber / Instagrammer / TikTok / social media celeb who shall not be named.
Do you want to whisper the name to me and then get rid of it? Ha ha ha! Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to say names here. I just mouthed it.
The fact that I already know what you're going to say, keep going.
Basically, like, I never really got into YouTubers. Like, I don't follow, I literally follow only people that I know.
I thought she, like, her main thing was Instagram.
Oh.
I think so.
I don't know anything about that person.
That's okay. Jesse and I know way too much.
I don't follow people that I don't know on Instagram unless they are famous and followed me first, just because
famous people follow you first.
Okay, it's just some comedians.
anyways. keep going.
Just some comedians that I want to be my friends.
Fair enough.
Anyways, they're like all older than me by like 15 years. It's fine. They'll never be my friends for real. Anyways, so I, like, don't follow people, so I have no idea who this woman is. Or child. It could be a child.
No, she's an adult.
Who knows? But anyways, she's getting a lot of shit because she promotes extremely dangerous behaviors to her followers who are young girls. And, like, what we've talked about it before. Can I speak? What we've talked about before is these people that do what you eat in a day videos. And basically what I'm understanding is that she, like, makes them and then, like, has, like, a very small amount of food in her thing. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, me too, same, I eat that too. Oh, my gosh, same, me too, also me, OMG, goals, yes, queen, slay. Hallelujah.
Yeah, she, like, posts them. For a second, I was like, are we even talking about the same person? Did I read your lips correctly? No, I did. I just remembered that she posts all these on her Instagram story. And it is, I have witnessed myself what this looks like. And it is, oh boy. It is definitely incredibly restrictive, in my humble opinion, in terms of
and
the
variety. And then, like,
variety.
People, like, trying to be, like, people are trying to, like, defend her, being like, oh, but, like, I saw that she went to this coffee shop and had a chocolate croissant and, like, had a piece of pizza. And I'm like, okay, just because she did that doesn't mean that she's promoting a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
Not that she has to. She doesn't have to promote her lifestyle, but she chooses to. And it is could harm people who want to be like her, because little girls just want to be like their idols.
Yeah, especially when they're...
Has this woman done anything good in her life to be idolized for? Can she sing? Can she dance? Can she change the world? Did she get shot by the Taliban and write a book about it? I don't think so. Why are we idolizing her?
The degree to which you're roasting her is quite funny to me. But I do think, like, it raises a couple of very important points. Number one, what I eat in a day videos.
What I eat in a day?
Like,
sorry. Is she British or American?
110% American.
Sorry. Again, who is this?
We'll talk later.
I'm looking at literally a Reddit thread about it.
Oh my god, yeah. Reddit will go ham for her. But anyways, yeah. Like, what I eat in a day is, like, number one. Can I tell you, like, the amount of what I eat in a day's and also, like, cheat day videos that I consumed as a person sick with an eating disorder is ungodly. Like, I don't know. Like, there's people that make them with good intentions that show normal diets. There's people in recovery that make them in order to, like, you know, show people, like, this is, you know, what... Not necessarily what recovery can look like, but I guess be kind of like an accountable support or whatnot.
Should I make one?
No, don't make one of you in a day.
Do you guys want one from me?
Well, here's my opinion. I mean, I think, like, I'm in the camp. You know how there's, like, a controversy over, like, our before and after pictures in terms of, like, in disorder versus recovered from disorder, helpful or harmful. I'm in the camp that those are 99% of the time harmful. With what I eat in a day's videos.
What if you look the same in both of them?
What do you mean?
Like, What if you look the same?
I mean, that's like possible.
Just one of them, you look sad.
I know, exactly. But I think like the problem is that like usually they're made by people to like validate like your own I was sick enough kind of thing. It's usually like someone that's like emaciated and then ends up in a thin body. You know what I mean? Or even if it's not that, you're still showing pictures. I mean, assuming, you know, depending on your disorder, I think those can look a lot of different ways. And I think for most people, it tends to be more triggering and more to validate the person posting than it is to help people. So anyways, like I said, 99% of the time, feel like that, unhelpful, probably triggering. What I eat in a day's videos, I feel like those are 80% of the time, not helpful, triggering, probably definitely harmful. You know what I mean? So I'm going to vote no against you making what I eat in a day video. If you want to post maybe a fun recipe.
Who knows? Let's see what happens. I probably won't because I'm forgetful and lazy. Also, I can't get my priorities straight. Like, I have too many things to do.
That's fair enough.
And also, the only thing I can cook right now is ramen noodles.
Anywho, what else was I thinking of with the whole Instagrammer situation? I mean, too, like...
this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what her deal is. And, like, I'm not also here to, like, diagnose people with whatever or to say like someone's relationship is one way or another, but I guess like the important takeaway is based on what a person is eating, you don't know how they're psychologically, mentally, emotionally feeling and reacting to that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure like you can even like think about, you know, when you try to fear food for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, in starting recovery. If you were to take a picture of that and post it on Instagram, you know, people might not understand, like, everything that's going on behind that image unless you were to specifically tell them. Like, it's...
you're like, I was afraid and now I'm not.
Or, I mean, at the same time, like, you were probably experiencing an equal amount of anxiety, you know, when... you did that, or no, you're good. You know, like, it just, like, especially with, like, a picture and what people choose to post and what people don't choose to post, the reality of it doesn't always match up to what is, you know, actually going on. So I think it's like really hard to say, but at the same time, when you're consuming content like Freely the Banana Girls and you're like thinking that this is the only right way to eat and that X, Y, and Z food is bad and whatever, like it really messes. And then when you have so many people supporting that too and being like, yes, I eat this way as well and I feel so great. And I don't have brain fog. And I have so much energy throughout the day. And, like, personal opinion, I think those are all, like, made up. Like, in a placebo effect way. Like...
yeah, I was going to say that.
I think
too.
I remember one of, you know, the YouTubers that, like, would post What I Eat in a Day videos and was vegan for a long time following, you know, the protocol, if you will, of, you know, kind of like the diets that Freely and other people like prescribed or whatnot. Like, I distinctly remember a video of her being like, oh no, I'm having brain fog as a result of having this food that I don't usually eat, kind of thing. And I think, you know, eventually years later, like, her digestive system was messed up. She was having other issues that, like,
oh no,
she wanted to fix. And things like that. And you know, says that she's no longer vegan. And she was kind of like explaining how, like, in a way, like the way that she was saying that she felt didn't really, looking back on it, didn't really match up to how she was actually like feeling. It was like this idea of like, these foods are so healthy, certain foods are unhealthy, so eating the healthy foods is going to make me feel like I'm at this like peak level of fitness and health and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that, but it's just like, I guess my point is it's kind of interesting, like, when it comes to, like, I guess, like, orthorexia flying under the radar is how, you know, in the worst of it, you may not even, like, realize that that's something you're struggling with because it becomes so normalized by our culture, by our society, by other people online. And, you know, maybe even who you surround yourself with, you know, depending on your situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only thing for me that I have left to say of mm-hmm. this matter is that, like, first of all, I don't think you should idolize someone just because of the way they eat.
Right. That's fair.
If someone eats a lot of things and you think that's really cool, I think that's a different story. If you're like, wow, you eat so many foods. That's amazing. Wow, so many options. Incredible, fantastic, super duper. That's one thing. But I feel like if you're like, wow, you're so good at controlling yourself. Okay. Like, wow, you have so much self-control. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say on that matter. Like, don't idolize someone because of their food choices. And please, 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 please prioritize just, I don't know, think about your overall mm-hmm. well-being sometimes. Is it worth having a little bit of acne? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I'm going to reinforce that point with... Let's remember that control over our food doesn't give us control in our actual lives. And what we want is the feeling of control in our actual lives. So don't mistake the two.
Yeah. But anyways, guys, so thank you so much for listening. If you're my cousin, sorry. you know who you are, and I'm always happy to talk to you. If you want to talk about your issues, I'm here for you. If you hate me, I'm sorry. And yeah, guys, I mean, literally, if you ever need anything, you know, we're here for you. Reach out to us. It's sometimes easy when you're in recovery to think that this is the way to recover yourself, and it's not. You're just digging in it's like you're digging a ditch in a different mm-hmm. direction.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's it for me.
Feel free to reach us at Cyril from the Box on Instagram, or you can send a email to us if you would like, maybe to be more anonymous. That's cyrilfromthebox@gmail.com.
Yeah, baby. Gmail. Yeah, and, like, if you want any content from us, if you want to know, like, what we're going to be talking about, if you want to give us some ideas, we need some, let us know.
Brilliant. Okay.
All right.
Stay strong. Bye.
Bye.